Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. God made several great and wonderful promises to Abraham, of which we read in Genesis chapter 12 and 18 and 22. He would be the father of a great nation. His descendants would be as numerous as the stars of the heavens and the sands of the sea. Those that blessed him would be blessed, and those that cursed him would be cursed. His people would have a land for their homeland. And then the greatest of all the promises that was given was that through his seed would all the families of the earth be blessed. The Apostle Paul identifies that seed as Jesus Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 16. It is because of God's use of Israel in bringing the Savior to the world that the history of ancient Israel is important to us. During Israel's history, there were times that they prospered, and there were times when they were in adversity, even captivity. After leaving Egypt, wandering in the wilderness, then taking the land of Canaan and being ruled by judges, the people asked for, and God reluctantly allowed them to have a kingdom. For over 120 years, the kingdom was united, and then it was divided into two nations, Israel on the north and Judah on the south. Northern Israel was eventually taken into Assyrian captivity, from which they, as a nation, never returned. Judah was later taken into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And after Babylon was overthrown by Persia, the Persians allowed the Jews to return to their homeland, and the captivity was over. Under the Persian rule, the Jews narrowly escaped being exterminated at the command of the Persian king. That which prevented it was the brave and noble action taken by a young Jewish woman who was made to realize that she had a mission in life. She was persuaded that the things that had happened unto her earlier in life was to prepare her for service to God and to her people, and through her the people were spared. You may have already identified Esther as the one of whom we speak. The account begins when the Persian king, Ahasuerus, deposed his queen Vashti because she refused to display her physical beauty before the lustful and drunken princes at a celebration of the king. As punishment, she was removed from being queen, and in her place came Esther, selected by the king to be his new queen after an involved selection was carried out. Esther was a Jewess, although the king knew it not. She was an orphan, having been reared by a godly cousin named Mordecai. Under his guidance, she obviously learned to fear God and have respect and love for her people and their place in God's plan. And during her youth, Mordecai supplied her with a reservoir of good things from which she could and did draw later in her life. Mordecai came under the intense hatred of a high official in the Persian court named Haman, because Mordecai would not bow down before Haman when Haman rode through the streets. Haman, in order to get revenge against this solitary Jew, devised a plot that would annihilate all the Jews and dispose of Mordecai. He concocted certain accusations against the Jews that were not true, such as how the Jews refused to obey the voice of the king. Haman asked the king for money and permission to carry out a widespread slaughter against the Jews. Therefore, a decree was sent forth throughout the land that on a given day all citizens were to rise up against the Jews and slay them until they were no more. Neither Haman nor the king realized that Esther was a Jewess, nor that Mordecai was her cousin. Upon hearing the decree, Mordecai was stricken with grief. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Esther chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Well, eventually news reached Esther of the sorrow among her people, and particularly with Mordecai. She sent messengers to learn of the trouble and was informed of the impending destruction. Mordecai urged Esther to go before the king and make supplication on the behalf of the Jews. Well, Esther responded, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whomsoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king in the inner court who is not called, there is one law to be put to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come unto the king these 30 days. In other words, for her to approach the king would be risking her life. And Mordecai sent word, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" To paraphrase, Mordecai was telling Esther, there was a time to speak, and this was the time. Risk or no risk, the need was there and action must be taken. Mordecai was confident that God would preserve his people and keep his promises to Abraham, because he said enlargement and deliverance would come from some other place if Esther neglected the matter. But she and her kindred would be destroyed. God wanted to use her. She had an opportunity to render service to God and to her people. She needed to be convinced that she had been allowed to be where she was in order to be used for good purposes. She had a duty, and she was in place to perform that duty. She had been brought to her station for just that reason. Now, would she fulfill her role, or would she falter? Esther, obviously convinced of her responsibilities, she went before the king and was received, and she invited him to a banquet, and then to a second banquet to which Haman was also invited. And it was at this second banquet that she exposed Haman's plot against the Jews, and how that she also was a Jewess. And she asked that her people be spared. Well, in the end, the king, though unable to rescind his decree, did allow the Jews to protect themselves to the extent that the planned extermination was foiled. In fact, Haman was the one who perished. Esther's purpose for existence was the preservation of Judah. Her entire life was designed to bring about this opportunity for her to render just such a service. God was overruling in the affairs of men, but doing so through the use of those who will allow themselves to be used for God. Mordecai realized this, and he made Esther realize this, that we all have a mission in life. He said, "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" In the spirit of self-sacrifice, putting the needs of others before her own personal welfare, she obligingly allowed herself to be used for higher purposes. She fulfilled her mission in life. Surely we all must be impressed with the fact that we live in momentous and in important times. They are even tumultuous. The world is moving swiftly. It is restless, disturbed with wars and riots and crime and corruption. One has described the world with one word, and that is the word nervous. Everything once thought nailed down is being pulled up and broken. The pace of living is so rapid and complex that people generally are in a state of fear and confusion, frustration, anxiety. And we may long for more tranquil times. But who but knows that we have come to this time for use in God's service just in such a perilous period as which we are living? Every period in one's life is important, whether in the days of youth, in the strength of manhood, or the maturity of later years. All are important. All offer opportunities and responsibilities that cannot be accomplished at other times. Much is to be done in every stage of existence of the human being. Oh, some may bemoan, Now, if I were younger, or if I were older, or this or that, I would do thus and so. But there are missions and purposes in life, regardless of your age, or your circumstance, or your situation in life. Let us be impressed, as was Esther, that we all have a mission in life. We have a charge to keep. We have a responsibility to perform. We might not always know and understand fully about it. But real noble men and women go about their task of duty without fanfare and notoriety, often without praise or recognition, but doing as God would have them do nonetheless. Each has a contribution to make, an example to set, a role to play that nobody else on earth can fill. Each has an objective and a goal to reach, a challenge to meet, maybe a problem to solve, or a blessing to be or enjoy. Yes, we live in a time when God is ridiculed. His word is set aside for human reasoning and worldly wisdom. Christ is ignored and his will dismissed. Passion is exploited. Morals are collapsing. Wars and threats and anti-Christ doctrines abound. Such has become a large part of daily existence. Sin runs rampant throughout our society, and even evil seems to prosper. And we may long for what some call the good old days, when such did not seem so open and obvious. But friend, we live now, in the midst of all the havoc of a sinful world. God needs people to keep the flame of truth burning brightly. We just may have been privileged to live in such a time as this, and to serve as our purpose in life. We live in a time to serve when opportunity knocks so often and so loudly. There is the need for godly people to stand for what is right. Righteous living is a real challenge in our time. There must be examples of life the way God wants it lived. Every hand must be given to the task for the promotion of the good, especially in the face of the floods and the torrents of evil that are sweeping so many away in the tide of torment. We do not live yesterday, and we may not live tomorrow. But we live now, we live today, and we must act now and be glad that we can serve God now. The faith, the truth, our blessed children must be preserved and shown the way of true life. Our freedoms in Christ are too precious to allow them to be swept away without doing all and risking all for their protection and preservation. And I say to you, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? In my lifetime, the church has suffered from the battering of atheism, denominationalism, humanism, worldliness and division, liberalism, human legalism, and other digressions. The church, even at the hour of which I am speaking, is suffering from a lack of commitment to the truth by many who claim to be members of the church. And we stagger in bewilderment at what has invaded the hearts and lives of brethren in their imitation of error. But who knoweth whether we are come to the kingdom for just such a time, in order to preserve a remnant, and to keep the truth alive in the world? The devil has his henchmen all around, and God must have his soldiers to fight the good fight of faith. Yes, indeed, we have a mission in life. We must be alert to the dangers and also to the opportunities. Esther was just one person, but she was one who did what she could. I am but one. You are but one. But like Esther, we must realize we have a mission in life. We must preserve and protect and defend and proclaim the truth of God to the world with vigor and vitality, militantly, with conviction and dedication. As surely as God could and did use Esther to spare the Jews, he can, and through us, accomplish what is needful in our own day. It may well be that we personally will not prosper. But what of that? Woodrow Wilson once said, "I had rather suffer defeat in a cause that will eventually be victorious than enjoy victory in a cause that shall eventually suffer defeat." But the inspired Apostle Paul said it better, and gives us more confidence when he wrote, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Romans 8 and verse 18. Dear listener, it is our life's duty and privilege to fear God and to keep His commandments. And in this way, we shall recognize and we shall fulfill our mission in life. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.